Good morning.
Good morning.
Our first reading from this morning is Hebrews 12, 11. Hear the word of the Lord. No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. Matthew 6, 5 through 14. And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by men. Truly I tell you, they already have their full reward. But when you pray, go into your inner room, shut your door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. And your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not babble on like pagans, for they think that by their many words they will be heard. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. So then this is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. 1 Thessalonians 5, 16 through 18. Rejoice at all times, pray without ceasing. Give thanks in every circumstance, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. We look at the scriptures, and of course, we're continuing our study on spiritual disciplines. And disciplines are, we've talked about before, disciplines are those things that are there to try to help us change our character, our behavior. When you discipline a child, you hope that works. When your boss tries to discipline you, he's hoping for, or she's hoping for, a different behavior out of you. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. But when God wants us not to just have discipline from him, but to discipline our own lives. And spiritual disciplines are those things we're supposed to be adding to our own lives. We've talked about fasting. We've talked about taking times of rest, of Sabbath, so that we're resting and focusing on God. And today we're going to talk about one that most of us, we know a little bit about. It's prayer. Prayer is vital. I mean, some of you, if you've been here any time, you know that after my pastoral prayer, I stop and I'll say, now we'll say the prayer together. And then we'll say the Lord's Prayer. And some of you may think, why are we doing that? Why do we need to be doing that? Why do we need to have this discipline of saying this during the prayer? Some of you say, I've known that since I was a kid. And that may be true, and I'm glad. But why do we need to pray it together? Why do, especially for me, why do I think we need to pray it? One thing is so that we'll know it. About 10 years ago, I was asked to lead the Lord's Prayer in something, and I got up and started to lead it, and you know what? I messed it up. This is not good for a pastor. You know, it really made me look really dumb. But I also realized, you know, I was dumb. I was just ignorant. That doesn't sound any better. You know that? Ignorance is when you don't know something. It's not the fact that you're willingly being ignorant. You know, it's just you just don't know. Now, if you're being dumb, you're being stupid, then yeah, you are willfully choosing ignorance. But I realized we don't do this. And what do our kids know this thing? Then I also remembered we need to be reminded what the Lord's Prayer says. Our Father, we're praying, who are we praying to? God, who's not just out there, but our Father. And this ties in with three, it unites us because we say our Father, it's not my Father, and you guys are out of luck. It's ours. We acknowledge the fact that God is the one we need to look to for forgiveness. God is the one we need to look to for provision. And in fact, it reminds us that, guess what? We need to forgive that person that ticked us off this week. It reminds us of how we need to live. It reminds us that we will pray it, that we're not just going to pray it as saying it, but we're actually going to mean it from our hearts. And so that's why we do this, the Lord's Prayer, during this time of prayer. It's not just something that, oh, the church has done it for years. Yes, many churches have, and many churches will. But this, there's a reason behind it. It's not just doing something so we can fill up 2 minutes of the service time. No. It's a discipline. Wondered how I'd tie back to that. It's a discipline. It's something we do regularly. Why? So it hopefully will change our attitudes and change our behavior. But prayer is far more than the Lord's Prayer. Prayer is calling out to God. Prayer is seeking God. In fact, mankind started calling out to God in Genesis chapter 4, verse 26, and they've been doing it ever since. People calling out to God, asking God for His answer, for His, what He wants done in our lives. And if you do any study about prayer, I mean, there's a lot out there. They're talking about breath prayers, there's centering prayers, there are contemplative prayers, there are conversational prayers, there's fixed hour praying, there's healings prayers, there's intercessory prayer, there's liturgical prayer, there's recollection prayers, there's prayers kneeling, there's prayers standing, there's prayers walking, there's prayers with folded hands, prayer with raised hands, prayers in groups, prayers in solitude, prayer in confidence, prayer in fear, prayer in praise. Should I go on? Or do you got the point here? There's a lot of stuff about prayer. And guess what? You don't have to understand all of it perfectly. You just make sure you need to pray. We need to pray. There are a lot of diverse opinions on prayer and how you should pray. Some people say that prayer only changes us. Some prayer says it empowers angels. I've never read that in Scripture. I can't find it anywhere, but people say it. Some say prayer changes God. Some people say prayer it doesn't change God as far as his personality, but changes how he's reacting with people. But here's the thing. We don't always understand how it works or why it works. All we do know, and what everyone throughout church history has said, is that Christians need to pray. We need to spend time in prayer. And prayer is never trying to manipulate God. We read in our sermon series on the Sermon on the Mount. We talked about it. Jeremy read it this morning. When you pray, don't go on like the pagans thinking that God's going to be impressed because you're babbling an hour and a half. God, I spent an hour in prayer. You owe me. God has one word for that. Ha! No, that's the way I'm saying he says it. He probably says it differently to you. If you think you're coming to God and said, you owe me, God, because I did this, it's like, no, it doesn't work that way. Prayer isn't the fact that we're trying to do something to manipulate God. But prayer is communicating with him. Prayer is asking him. And he tells us, bring your requests before me. Talk, communicate with me. And that communication with God is a mystery. It's how do you nail it down? I can't. And I don't think anyone really can completely. We don't fully understand it. We just know we need to be doing it. The one prayer that God always responds to is the one when somebody truly seeks to make Jesus Lord of their life. There are different types of prayers, and maybe we'll go into some of these that we talked about, I mentioned a minute ago, some other time. But today I want to talk about one specific type of prayer. It's continual prayer, or prayer without ceasing. How do you pray without ceasing? You know, I don't know about you, but I worked in the factory, and it wasn't like I could go like this. Dear Lord, please do help so-and-so. Please don't get me fired as I'm doing this. It wouldn't work, would it? No, because the type of prayer that we're talking about, this prayer without ceasing, is not as much a position or specific words. It's an attitude of our heart. It's a way we live. It's a way of being responsive and also a way of being relational. You're being responsive to God. You're being there to hear Him. And to talk with Him. And it's also that relational aspect, because it's not just God up there and we're down here, and it's kind of like a transaction at Walmart or Target or wherever you like to shop. You go in and says, okay, I got my stuff here. Would you take care of that? Thank you. Hey, you haven't delivered it yet. That'd be hard because there's nothing on the list I gave him. But that's sometimes the way people think that's the way we ought to treat with God. But it's not about that. This is a relation. And if you have a relationship with somebody, it's more than just, here's the list and I'm out of here. But first I want to talk. It's sometimes those calls are a lot more like they're responsive. It's like some people use their smartphones. What do you use a smartphone call for? One, you receive or make a call. Some of you probably have your phones on this morning. And if it would ring, you'd be maybe either a real hurry to get out because you saw, if this person is calling me, I know it's an emergency. Or you might say, oh my goodness, I wish this person wasn't calling me. I'm glad I'm in church. But we respond to it. In fact, I'm amazed how people do respond to their phones. Sometimes I think they respond to their phones more than they do to other human beings. But that's a whole other situation, whole other subject for a whole other time. I'm going to just tell you this. If you're married, that phone call better be dire if you're answering it, if you're in the middle of an important conversation. Or we'll talk about the response. There's going to be a response, but you're not going to like it. Also, sometimes you use it to get direction. You need to know, where am I going? Or maybe like yesterday when I was traveling with my daughter, I made a turn. It's like, okay, where in the world am I? And how do I get home from here? Yep, I got my phone out, put it in, hit the start button. Hit the start button. You know, I know this, but you know, hitting it five times after hitting three times previous doesn't make it work any faster. But we do these things because we want direction. Also, sometimes we want to get more information. God, I don't understand. I'd like to know more. But also, if we're going to be responsive in prayer, we need to always have it there. In other words, we need to always be ready to listen. Unlike your cell phone or your smartphone, that maybe sometimes it would be best if you left it at home or turned it off, God is somebody we never want to turn off. We always want to keep that doorway, that open, so we can hear from Him. Which ties right into it being relational, which is kind of like a marriage. I don't know about you, but a marriage is more than one person, right? Yeah, there's two of you. And our prayer life should reflect that. It's not just about me. It's also about me listening to God, which is the second thing. We need to be listening, not just talking. Now, how many of you think that things would go well if I go in and I'd go to my wife and say, here's what happened today, dot, 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 and I need you to do this, this, and this, and while you're at it, I hope you're having a good day, thanks for being my wife, and then walk out and don't talk to her the rest of the day or the week. How many of you think this is going to make for a successful marriage?
Nope.
Yeah, you got that right, buddy. I bet you all know this one. How many of you think this is a really dumb plan? Yeah. You know, that's why I don't do this. I've realized also that sometimes when I go in and do inform her of stuff, I need to stop, pause, and... Oh, yeah, y'all know that. And y'all do it all the time. Don't answer that.
I don't.
But if we're going to have a relationship with somebody, not just a marriage partner, but somebody who's a friend, we need to remember it's not just about us talking. It's about us listening. And being in continual prayer means we spend time listening. And sometimes it's just about being there, just about presence. How many of you know if you've got a relationship with somebody, especially if you had a good relationship with your spouse, or maybe just a good friend, just being there together? Just there. You're there. What are you doing? Nothing. What are you talking about? Nothing. You want to go someplace else? No, we're fine. We're good right here. We're just here together. And prayer, continual prayer, is just about recognizing the presence of God. Here's the thing, God is always with you. But we need to recognize that presence. We need to realize it's there. And maybe we don't have to acknowledge it in words or in a specific action, but in the attitude of our heart, realize that this is part of who I am. I am in this relationship with God, and He is here with me. And also, you know, how many of you realize that if you're married, you're married whether you feel like it or not? You're married. I don't feel very married today. Well, first question I might be tempted to ask, what did you do? But the thing is, if you feel like it or not, if you're married, you're married. And sometimes we need to just realize that I may not feel it. I may not feel the presence of God. I may not notice anything spectacular going on. But I need to realize that, yes, even though I don't feel Him, He's here and He's present and He's with me. And I am in a relationship with Him. And you know, the amazing thing is, especially if you've had a friend you've had for a while or in marriage, sometimes you don't need to talk to communicate. Sometimes it's just, I don't know about you, but in my household, I can walk in and I can just turn around and I can look at my wife and we've just had a whole communication. And in fact, I've known our daughter has said before, it's like, what's going on? Didn't you talk? Aren't you going to talk this out? Like we did. No, you didn't. Yeah, we did. But she didn't even nod. She didn't need to. Well, how's that? We're married. You know, I know her. She knows me. And just a look, just that knowledge, that the fact that we are communicating without words goes a long way. And there are often times that God will touch our hearts and we can be in communication with God and we don't even have to be using words because God knows what's going on inside of us. And God wants us to try to reach out and know His heart. So prayer is about that. Prayer without ceasing is more about anything else about having this response to God, this attitude of responsiveness, and this attitude that we are not just here for a time, but we're in a relationship that lasts, a relationship that endures. It's something that's always with us. It's always there. And I'm using some analogies this morning, some metaphors. They don't always make perfect sense. And if they don't work perfect sense to you, that's fine. But know this, prayer is vital. And if you want to grow in Christ, you need to make sure that you are praying, that you're in this attitude of continual prayer. And let me tell you something. Sometimes, on that last point, communication isn't just about talking. Sometimes I have done things because I was in that relationship, even though they weren't there. I knew I was in this relationship. I knew that, the example again with me and my wife, because we are in this relationship, I knew there are things I needed to do. She couldn't be there. I went to work at Great Dane Trailers. I couldn't bring her in with me and say, can I just let my wife sit here? No. They said, no, if we hire her, we'll put her to work, but it won't be beside you. But why was I there? Because I was in a relationship with her. And my actions there was at the fact I knew I was in a relationship with my wife, and I knew I had a family, and therefore I was going to act a certain way. And I wasn't going to do something that got myself fired, because I knew that we needed the money, because my wife has this thing. She likes to have her bills paid. She likes to eat regularly. So do I, but that's a whole other subject we've talked about before. Sometimes in our prayer life, this relationship we have with God means we're doing something that may not necessarily look spiritual, but is deeply spiritual. Sometimes the fact that we're in continual prayer with God means our continual attitude about teaching and doing with working with God. It's about us doing what God wants us to do, because we know we have that relationship. God wants me to help so-and-so. That doesn't feel very spiritual, especially if it's not like one minister I talked to, or a song person, a singer that I heard one time, that God put it on their heart that they needed to go and help his neighbor clean his toilet. It was actually replace the seal underneath it. So it was not just clean it, it's pull it out, put the new ring on it, put it back down. If any of you have ever done that, that's not the most exciting. It's not, I wouldn't call that spiritual work at all. But he knew that God was laying it on his heart to do that. And so he did it. The amazing thing about it is, he said, as he was doing that, he said, he was just climbing underneath the toilet, something fell off. He didn't know what it was, didn't want to know what it was. It got in his eyes, and all of a sudden he's like, ah! And in the middle of this time where he's just doing what God's called him to do, living out that Christian life, God spoke to his heart and told him, this is the next step you need to do. So your ministry that you want to do will open up. And it did. But what was he doing? He was living out this relationship with God. And as he was doing it, it opened it up so God could speak to his heart. So continual prayer is also about us doing. The nice thing about it is we don't have to understand it all to use it. How many of you perfectly understand how electricity works? How a spinning magnet can cause electrons to move through a line And it somehow moves back and forth and yet moves along a line. Y'all got this, right? Perfectly. You understand it? Absolutely. Right? I don't. I got it. I understand. I've seen the pictures, but to me, it's like there's something missing. But you know what? I can still do this. I don't understand it perfectly, but guess what? It works. You don't have to understand prayer perfectly, but if you try to live it out, you try to do it. If you spend time in prayer, if you spend time trying to change that attitude, it will change things and it will change you. And you don't have to understand it perfectly for it to work. It's a beautiful thing about it. You can use it and God will work in your life. If you just look to Him, if you just call out to Him in prayer. And unlike our cell phones, guess what? God doesn't have a thing that says, sorry, the lines are down at this point. Call again later. His lines are always open. And so, I want to do that one more time. Let us pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Now, Father, I ask that you bring each one solace in their lives. When they come to you in prayer, Lord, this week, let them feel your presence in a mighty way, I ask, as they continue to live out as you'd have them live. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you.